Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome to Chicago Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear. School uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Hurdle Apparel, high-tech socks. LER, Lower Extremity Review. And MVP Parent Magazines. And UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader, Josh Mackey. He's a doctor of physical therapy. He specializes in pickleball. It's the country's fastest growing sport. He's all about preventing injury and enhancing performance. He'll be joining me along with returning Darren Harfam, Ten Hat Orthotics Lab Manager. He's my decades-long specialist and consultant in all things orthotics. Then the sports doctor's in with some Bob Guider wisdom, your emails. Josh Mackey, welcome to the sports doctor.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Give us some background on yourself, Josh, and your world of physical therapy and pickleball.
Yeah, so first was introduced back when I was in high school, kind of to the physical therapy world. I was primarily a football player, so I was dealing with injuries with that, so was kind of introduced to physical therapy back then. Graduated PT school. That was kind of right when I really started playing pickleball, just over 2 years ago. And at that time was dealing with a lot of injuries myself. A lot of the people I was playing with were also getting injured playing. So I kind of stumbled into this niche, if you will, because pickleball was growing so rapidly and people were getting hurt. So I wanted to kind of help that population since I was playing the sport and loved competing. So
So it's an important area. You know, again, pickleball, I wrote an article in 2021 for Lower Extremity Review, a clinician's point of view, talking about that before people knew how to spell the word pickleball, again, that pickleball is physical. This is racquetball, tennis, change in direction, fast moves, both upper and lower extremity. And when pickleball first exploded in my club, it was all super seniors playing on the half of a basketball court. And none of them were really ready for that kind of physical demand. And it's great to see, again, the world of physical therapy. A colleague of mine, chiropractic physician, Dr. Eric Williams, is also a pickleball specialist here in the Illinois area. And again, with the same concern, the fact that this is really, really physical. I bet. So you've had to be an educator as well as a psychologist, right?
Definitely, yes.
How have been the age groups that you're dealing with? Again, now, you know, physical therapy, the world of rehab, and the idea of preventing problems as well as enhancing performance. What ages are you dealing with in the world of pickleball? Is it 3 to 103?
It kind of goes in line with the age groups that we see, you know, people playing. So anybody as young as in their teenage years, all the way up into their 70s, a few even in their 80s, which is good. They're maintaining that activity level, you know, into their 80s. But I would say there's everybody within every age group, I would say, is getting injured playing.
Well, what's interesting, again, is that people need to understand and be educated and take it seriously. When you're talking about multi-directional activities, especially if you've never really been used to it, and all of a sudden it's the thing to do, and you're moving and you're not really ready. And for a long time, we've recommended that people, first of all, they consult with podiatry. What's the best shoe to be in? What about that criteria? And number two, talk to somebody like yourself in the world of physical therapy in order to be able to get your body ready, whether you do it at the gym, whether you're doing exercises at home, and, you know, good home program, et cetera, then somebody has a much better chance of not getting hurt. True?
Definitely, yes. There are some things people need to be doing, you know, before they step on the pickleball court as part of their warm-up routine, but also the days they're not playing, you know, we want them doing some strengthening exercises, whether that be at a gym or just for somebody who's just starting out doing some body weight things at home, things in that manner. So definitely a big, big component with injury prevention.
Yeah, you've got some good programs. What's the best site for people to go to see your great information?
Yeah, definitely. So the easiest way to reach me is just through Instagram. People can just follow me or message me on there, and that's at Dr.JoshMackey, or they can visit my website, which is drjoshmackey.com.
You know, it's interesting. The orthopedic surgeons I have on, Dr. Chris Ahmad from the Yankees, Dr. Brian Cole with the Bulls and the White Sox, Sean McMillan in New Jersey with all these other teams, and everybody had been talking about, I won't say because I wrote the article, but since I wrote the article, how medically they were seeing so many different problems, again, because of this explosion of pickleball. Everything from some real trauma, whether it was broken bones, whether it was torn tendons, whether it was other kinds of aggressive injuries, or whether it was more in the area of overuse. And that's when we started to see, again, the inclusion of chiropractic medicine, physical therapy, being included in the mix regarding, you know, you got to be in the right shoe to play pickleball. And it depends on the surface you're on. You know, if you're going to be on wood surfaces like a basketball court, then you need traction for that. You're playing outdoors, you need traction for that. I'm sure you pay attention to that stuff.
Definitely, yes. The shoes and the surface people are playing on definitely can impact, you know, potential injuries and things along the line with that manner.
You know, again, in running jumping sports, one of the reasons I co-authored the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic with capital letters in youth sports, overuse injuries. And many times we would recommend that we wanted two exercise areas really, really included in these programs. And one was strengthen your feet and ankles. Do some rubber band work. Now, a lot of times we say, go to your physical therapist, learn some technique, and work on balance. Work on balance exercises. Again, if you're going to be moving your body quickly in different directions, then again, it doesn't surprise me at all that we run into this mess. And this is why we like to feature these topics and talk to experts like yourself, which is, again, if you want to play, then make sure you're including getting into shape to play. What's been interesting is, and I go way back, man, I put John McEnroe in orthotics in the early 80s. I don't want to age myself or anything. But, you know, tennis and racquetball all were tremendously physically demanding sports. And even though, pickleball, you could really kind of take it easy, you're seeing some great athletes in the sport now, aren't you?
Definitely, especially with the singles, I would say, too. I mean, doubles, you might not be doing as much running, but once you transition and you're competing at some high-level tournaments in singles, I mean, there is a ton of mobility, a lot of, like you mentioned, side-to-side movements involved. So I would say there's different levels to it, but there's a lot more activity now, especially as the competition is increasing.
Yes, we would start to see again some, and again, upper body is something absolutely right. You're talking shoulders, elbows. I don't know if we quite have reached the tennis elbow area, if there's such a thing with a pickleball, but upper body is also core. That's a big deal also in your world of dealing with some of these overuse injuries.
Definitely. I'm honestly shocked the term hasn't been switched to pickleball elbow at this point because of how common it is. But definitely, I would say, like you mentioned, the overuse injuries are super, super common. And I think it's because pickleball is such a multi-directional, full-body sport. You know, people are swinging hard, twisting through their bodies. So there's a lot more movement involved throughout the full chain as opposed to one might think.
Yes, and that's why somebody who really hasn't been physically active, when you see 75-year-old tennis players, they have been playing since they're 20 or 15 years old. People don't start tennis at 70 or racquetball, but you're seeing it in pickleball. We're seeing this phenomenon, and this is why we made tremendous emphasis on you don't have to be a superstar, but you got to get yourself in shape. You got to pay attention to try to prevent these, because the more popular it becomes, people start playing a couple times a week, then we start running into, again, all of these overuse problems from just so much aggressive. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over radio shows, you go back years, international, national, local guests, an endless array of topics. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you have thousands of followers, a lot of great information in all areas of fitness, wellness, and sports medicine, from concussions to what's the best shoe to specialization. At SportsDoc, D-O-C Radio, if you want to follow us on Twitter or X, we're talking pickleball. We're talking with a doctor of physical therapy, Josh Mackey, out in the Minnesota area. And now, so again, like we were talking about, the idea of seeing all sorts of different ages and seeing some real different high-level athletes, you know, with all of these different movements, you know, that are involved in the sport. And has the equipment area regarding like rackets, et cetera, also, and we were coming out with some shoes that are specific. How do you find that action?
Yeah, I think a lot of the rackets, especially the shoes too, it's really kind of dependent on the person. Some people like a little bit of a heavier paddle while others kind of like the lightweight paddle, and there's pros and cons to each. If you're using something lighter, you might be over swinging at times, while opposed to that, if you're using something a little heavier, you might be able to control it, but holding something heavier, squeezing on that heavier object, there's pros and cons to each.
Tell me a half a dozen common problems that you've seen in this connection quickly.
Yeah, so you're asking paddle specific or just any type of injury?
Or any problems anywhere. What's common that you see?
Sure. Yeah, I would say probably the three most common would be, one would probably be tennis elbow. The second one would be plantar fasciitis. And then third would be just generalized knee pain or anterior knee pain for the most specific area.
Do you find, like in your area, especially when you're dealing with some of these people, after all, you're dealing with physicians as a physical therapist, do you find the cooperation and the interaction of the medical field seems to be more and more aware of some of these concerns?
I would say so. I think a lot of it was new, you know, as pickleball was just initially getting started. But I would say a lot of physicians, especially in my area, you know, they're more than happy to have pickleball people work with physical therapy as a more conservative route initially, before they're looking to, you know, injections, potentially surgery if it's something more serious. I think a lot of them are, you know, not very hesitant with having people work with a physical therapist initially.
Are we seeing any pro leagues sprouting up, Josh?
Sorry, what was that?
Any professional leagues? Or what's the level that you're seeing? College, semi-pro? What's going on in that world?
Yeah, I would say for the people I'm specifically seeing, I've worked with people that are trying to compete professionally. While I've had a few that are at that professional level, I would say most of them are just competing with their friends for fun.
Yes, and the idea, you know, when you're working with athletes at those levels and everywhere in between, and you're dealing with the frustration of people who are trying to come back from injury or et cetera, so really quickly, I'll always ask you, you know, you guys, how's your sports psychology skills, Josh?
Definitely. Well, like you mentioned, it's hard when you're wanting to play, especially, you know, at a higher level. It's hard to miss time when you're injured, but it's a lot of just education at that point, you know, talking people, talking to people about what's realistic and then trying to set realistic goals, I think is super, super important.
I find it interesting. I wouldn't have guessed it, really, even though we mentioned it, that, again, because of the fact that if you're hitting a wiffle ball, that you'd be seeing elbow problems already. I find that interesting. I'm not surprised with the knee problems. I'm sure as heck not surprised with the foot problems. And but I found it surprising. I thought you might say shoulders first, but as I'm thinking, again, with more and more swinging, again, that's going on. And after all, the racket's smaller, but the rackets are, you know, are some weight. So the that was a surprise. Josh, give us quickly again the site, our Instagram, people could find out about you and your program.
Yeah, for sure. So if people want to just kind of follow me and learn more about some of my exercises, things like that, the easiest place to find me is on Instagram, and that's dr.joshmackey on Instagram. I also have a website which people can visit, and that's drjoshmackey.com.
Hold on, Josh. Right back in touch. Sports Doc. Josh Mackey. Hey everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Live from Chicago, it is the Sports Doctor. Decades has been my specialist in the world of orthotics, my consultant. So, hey, Darren, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yes, Darren, give us some background on you and the world of orthotics. I think, gosh, what, back to 87 or something?
Yeah, something like that. Oh, yeah. So, started back in 1987 working in a lab making orthotics when we had the orange polypropylene. I've pretty much just kind of climbed the ranks and...
Yes, you worked with the famous Michael Byrne.
I did. He was my mentor and my teacher, so...
You know, one of the real innovators in the whole world of prescription orthotics, they and a few others were really one of the innovators as biomechanics and the whole world of orthotics really, really started to explode in the world of podiatry, physical therapy, and all the areas. And then Burns Lab ran their course after those decades. And I think now Hen Hat, how long has Hen Hat been around, Aaron?
Hen Hat's been around since July of 2015, so about 8-9 years, I believe.
So. Okay, well, our friend Ben Blusha is the founder of Hen Hat Labs. And over the years, Darren, again, you and I have worked with for decades with some of the country's best figure skaters, some of the area's best athletes in so many different sports, and their grandmothers. Many times we included, and of course, you know, the world of orthotics has grown so dramatically from in the beginning when there were only maybe very, very rigid materials. And, but people still sometimes don't understand the uniqueness of prescription orthotics. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, prescription orthotics, you know, is based on diagnosis. You know, it's simple plantar fasciitis all the way to, you know, somebody that's got a fused foot or, you know, cavus foot types. There's just all different kinds. Flat feet, you know, those are the basics. But, you get into Charcot-Marie tooth, you get into diabetic and rheumatoid arthritic patients. We have special devices for everyone. So,
what's interesting also, Darren, is the revolution of materials. Even though it's interesting, you know, I've been using polypropylene plastic forever. Was the material? It could be very, very flexible. Could be very, very rigid. Can last semi forever. One of those combination of all sorts of soft materials do you work also in the orthotics world with the world of the shoe people, Podorthix?
We do. I mean, we're working with Podorthix, we're working with chiropractors even. We also work with sports medicines specialists as well as physical therapists. Physical therapy is really taking a big growing in orthotics now. So all different types.
This is what you and I have been involved with as long as I know you, which was exposing all of these professions and areas to the role of the foot, how crucial it was. Half the girls I've seen in 40 years, give or take a few weeks, are knee trouble. I'm a foot podiatrist. So, or how many postural problems, hips, low back, which is why the chiropractic world has got involved, which is why the physical therapy world, even though to this day, I think you would agree, podiatrists lead the field when it comes to the role of orthotics.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that on a large percent, yes.
But it is exciting to see again how, you know, people would ask all the time a couple of different things, Darren, that we would talk about. You know, what is the difference between you show somebody a flexible plastic, they say this material is hard. And they would talk about the difference between hard and soft materials. And you and I would say, let's talk if it's rigid or flexible. the area that was very, very important. But you've also dealt, I know over the years we would use these very, very light graphite materials What are some of the other materials and combinations in the world of orthotics that's exciting you?
Well, now we're even into doing like cork devices and EVA devices. You know, I think there's still a couple companies out there that are still doing the old leather butter, cork and leather devices. We've kind of steered away from the leather devices, but cork devices, EVA devices, really soft, accommodative, cork a little firmer. They've really taken a big role in our company now and producing a lot of those types of orthotics as well.
Is that core combination? You know, like I've always been a Birkenstock fan, and they always have used cork in the world of figure skating. We wanted to include cork in the heel material for shock absorption. Man, that was a tough sell many times, you know, over the years. What's the role of cork in orthotic? Is it as an arch fill type of material?
It's basically a cork shell it's like one piece of cork. It's the cork arch support with the fill and everything. And then you finish it up with a nice soft covering, you know, something accommodative or whatever you're looking for, softness. So that's basically what the cork, and the EVA is the same way. EVA provides a little more shock absorption, a little more cushion, where the cork is probably a little more dense, a little more durability to it.
Yes. Well, we found exciting and interesting, you know, whether we were looking to put a ballet dancer into a modern dance with those flexible shoes, mm-hmm. and we would be able to use with you guys at Hen Hat with you the ability of coming up with a device that shape-wise is exactly what we want, even in an extremely flexible, almost sponge-like material, so we could somehow get away with one of those. Boy, we've been creative over the years. I'm telling you, Darren.
we have.
But, you know, that's one of the biggest challenges in the whole world, you know, because there is a wall full of shoe insoles in running shoe stores and Walgreens and Dr. Scholl's, and people ask all the time, you know, what is the difference? You know, why can I buy an arch support at the store and expect it to do what an orthotic does? And they still sometimes need to be educated on the fact that, like you said, it's a prescription. The foot ankle is a complicated multi-motion joint, and the ability of what the shape of the orthotic is and how it functions with the foot's the key. No one will wear an orthotic that's not comfortable, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, and when you're talking about over-the-counter insole supports, Dr. Scholl's and whatnot, and running stores and grocery stores and what have you, versus the custom foot orthotic, I mean, there again, we fall back on specific foot types. And not to mention the orthotics are adjustable. Usually an over-the-counter insole, once you buy it, you take it out of the store, there's not much more you can do with it. Yeah, just a lot more advantages with a custom foot orthotic, not to mention that it's going to last you a long time. So
yes, I sent you a picture of the gal. I told you she was in. We were at the National Fitness Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Gosh, it's 5-6 years ago before I was inducted. And one of my old friends was in the group, Dr. Clausen, famous sports chiropractor. Hadn't seen him in years, it seemed. And we hugged, hi, how are you? And he was a team handball Olympian back in the late 70s as a 17-year-old, whatever he was. Point is, for fun, I slapped him on the shoulder. I said, hey, how's the orthotics? He took his shoes off. It's Dr. Weil, 1978, on the orthotics, the orange polypropylene. The idea of long-lasting. The analogy I like, Darren, when people ask about the prescription versus over-the-counter, I say, you know, if you need glasses and you go to Walgreens, you might get some readers or other things that could be helpful. But if you have bifocals, that's the prescription. And that's the analogy I make many, many times. Now we're also in the science, I think, big time, at least I've been for a while, especially in the world of skating, where parents and or coaches might say, you know, does my son or daughter need orthotics? I'd say, let's talk if they benefit. And I think that's a big deal. I find most patients who are in orthotics that are comfortable, absolutely the whole body benefits.
You're right. Yeah, absolutely. Basically starts with where you carry your most weight on your feet. So, you know, if you're an athlete or if you're just a everyday walker or just a, you know, normal person doing normal activities every day, I mean, you gotta take care of those feet because I'm sure you're on them quite a bit. So we have all different types of functional to accommodative orthotics that we could fit your foot type with. So
yeah, for years we've used the minimal sized hen hat orthotics to fit in a figure skate, and mm-hmm. we would need something that small to fit in a woman's dress shoes. Probably 40-50% of the women over the decades that I've used orthotics in their sneakers for plantar fasciitis, or whatever the problem was, heel trouble, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, arch pain. 40% of those women ended up in a hen hat dress device that we could Velcro in and get into a dress shoe. So again, many times even the size of the bulk of the orthotic. You know, how many times did I send you those crazy drawings, Darren?
I think it's just about every order.
Really? You know, that it's got to fit in the world of technology. You know, but I think, again, general medicine and a lot of these other different groups, like you mentioned, you know, the world of physical therapy, all of a sudden, again, when we turned around, all of a sudden online, there was a million different inserts and everybody selling something. And again, people had as much trouble with those as they did help in many, many instances. Again, that's a far cry from having a podiatrist write a prescription and work with a lab like Hen Hat in order to come up with something that is specific to that individual.
Right. Yeah. And there again, that all falls back on different foot types. I mean, a lot of people are miseducated on is, you know, you have somebody that comes in and has a high arch. Well, you have to look at the the fact that is this a flexible high arch or is this a rigid high high arch, because there's going to be a difference on what we're going to do for an orthotic for that foot. So. You know, you can go to a Walgreens or a Walmart or whatever and step on their scanner and they'll direct you to what you take, what you need to get for.
Yeah, it's a good first step. Yeah. I would have people do that while they're waiting for their custom that orthotic.
Right.
All right, hold on, Darren. We're going to be right back, everybody. It is the Sports Doctor. We have another segment coming up with Hen Hat Labs manager Darren Harfin. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hi, it's Dr. Bob. I need to tell you about vestibular training products and services. Founded by master figure skating coach Sheila Thielen, these important tools help with all types of balance challenges. Very exciting harnesses and spinning platforms. Vestibular training products and services are valuable tools for athletes and the general public. It's an effective post-concussion, traumatic brain injury, balance challenges with autism and other vestibular disabilities, and key areas of use. Go to vestibulartrainingservices.com. vestibulartrainingservices.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of sports doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Wild, talking with Penn Hat Orthotics Lab, manager of my longtime orthotics consultant, Darren Hoffman. You know, Darren, we started briefly to talk about, you know, the world of diabetes, which is a national scourge, diabetes. Such a problem. Podiatry has always been one of the first professions to identify diabetes, because the feet are the furthest area from the heart. Symptoms, my feet are numb and it's burning, et cetera, et cetera. The whole world of wounds and prevention. So the orthotics world has long been involved in the diabetic foot prevention area, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Diabetes and foot orthotics, I mean, that's a huge entity, because you're dealing with so many different issues. There's always wound care and trying to offloading certain lesions and calluses and trying to prevent a callus from becoming a lesion. Sometimes we even have to deal with amputees, you know, amputations of the, whether it be a great toe or just a partial foot amputation, whatever. We have done some prosthetic devices and fillers for certain things to an extent. So those, yeah, and, you know, and top covering material, those are always important things for diabetics.
Reducing the strain, reducing shear forces. You mentioned something very important. You talked about offloading. This is one of the key points. Wounds just don't happen. They are excessive stress to specific areas. Imagine it's under that big toe with that high arch foot that Darren had mentioned before, and we've got a callus and it breaks down, and all of a sudden we've got something that's not healing. So the idea of identifying these areas and being able to try to offload, accommodate, we've used orthotics to accommodate, take pressure off calluses, I think, since the beginning of podiatry, right, Darren?
We have, yes. Yeah, we have. And one of the most, you know, one of the importance in that too is just, it's not just about making an orthotic to offload an area. It's also supporting that arch, you know, to keep it from collapsing, to help disperse that weight so that they don't get any of that callusing or lesions or what have you too. So key is supporting the foot as well as offloading an area to help prevent any wound care, any wounds in that particular area. So
yeah, and you know, the running over to the other side of the spectrum in the world of sports medicine, in the world of youth sports injury prevention, where sometimes we realize that 75-80%, for example, of shin splint problems are foot related. And I've been putting orthotics in running shoes for shin splints forever, or for runner's knee or jumper's knee. So again, many times we find that the medical people have to get more and more in tune, as well as the coaches and the sports parents, that again, the role of the foot is key. to the point that if you have any constant problem above the foot, whether it's your ankles, whether it's your knees or your hips or back that are ongoing, orthotics can be a major, major weapon in order to help balance the body. I think many times the alignment, that's such a big deal with orthotics, isn't it, Darren?
It is, yeah. You know, and you talk about, because track season, that time of year is coming up now, and one of the things that we always hear, you know, is, well, we can't fit my orthotics in my track shoes. Well, yeah, we can fit them in skates. So we can fit them in skates. I think we can fit them in track spikes.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think key is that alignment and support. And, you know, you see all these new, you see them building all these new, nice, soft tracks, and you still have patients and kids, young kids coming to you with shin splints. So it's not... You know, it's not
Darren, the, what's the best site of people to find out all about Hen Hat? What's the best website?
It would be henhat.co, www.henhat.co.
Okay, you know, it's interesting. You know, one of my colleagues in the world of the radio, Noah Purvis, is a late 70-year-old sprinter, world champion on and off. We got the orthotics in his racing shoes, man. You remember that one.
I do.
With his gold medals. So, again, but that sometimes it's so obvious. You must take into account, you know, back in the 80s, I was using Burns then also. John McEnroe, the orthist, was doing something to put in his shoe, and it wouldn't fit. It didn't fit. It was too bulky. How could that possibly happen? So, again, it's so important to be able to fit in the shoe, match in the shoe. And that, to this day, it's still a challenge, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, it is. I mean, because shoes have changed so much over the years. And the nice thing is a lot of the shoes, the newer shoes, have removable insoles. And it's a lot easier to get them insoles out now before it wasn't. They glued
them in, yes.
So.
Remember, it was always to tear. I remember I told one of my favorite women patients, who was a very stylish gal, she owned numerous salons, and she did great, the orthotics, with her neuroma problems, and she had a pair for her dress shoes. And she had, I can't remember if they were Pradas, whatever they were, these leopard skin shoes. And she said, you know, it's kind of tight with the dress of, I said, Sherry, pull the insole out. She said, what are you, out of your mind? My $600 shoes, you want me to tear the insole out? So we ended up stretching the shoe. We got away with it. But, you know, sometimes now you're very, very right. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up. Almost every sneaker brand, walking shoe, running shoe, multi-purpose shoe, does have a removable insole. So do many, many work shoes. So when we want, and again, you know I'm a big Spenco fan, but you have all sorts of different materials to lessen impact that you incorporate into the world of orthotics, don't you?
We do, yeah. I mean, Spenco is always a big, big popular material. BPT Pulon as well, right up there with that. You know, of course, we carry the leather and the vinyl, suede. Everybody likes the different colors and whatnot.
I knew the time would fly by with you, Darren. Darren, give me the site again quickly so people find out more about Hen Hat.
Sure, www.henhat.co.
All right, man. Again, my longtime guru, orthotics colleague, Darren Hoffman. Thanks so much. Darren, hold on.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.health, reconnecting people and plants.
Introducing Hurdle Apparel Socks. Are you ready to step up your sock game? Hurdle Socks go above and beyond by adding unrivaled support and cushioning with their new Matrix Support technology. By using an incredibly thin, anti-odor, anti-perspiration, shock-absorbing web or matrix that's incorporated in between the fibers of their socks, Hurdle is introducing the first socks with an internal structure to support your feet. There is an immediate difference as soon as you wear them in terms of cushioning and support. Walk on and walk easy with Hurdle Socks. Go to hurdleapparel.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We have some great guests coming up. Next week, Eric Wabena returns. Eric is the president of Baseball Blue Book. And all the excitement around that organization that was founded in 1909 is a one place to go to find out all sorts of information with your young player. What about schools? What about coaching? What about questions? They're doing so much. They've got a new FM New York City show. So Eric will be returning. Paul Hammond. I Am Fine, an organization that pays attention to homebound seniors as far as their well-being, their confidence for their families, something that almost all of us at one time or another are dealing with. The following week, a couple of our favorite guests, Dr. Denise McDermott. Dr. Denise, who contributed to my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is a adult and child holistic psychiatrist. She's got so many great programs and platforms, the Dr. Denise Show, so she's returning. And Christine Blanchet from British Columbia, and her Run With It and other TV shows. For the past few years, I've done a monthly The Sports Doctor's In segment with Christine, whose background includes competitive running. Great guests, great topics. You know, Guida, this past weekend, the National Fitness Hall of Fame celebrated their 20th anniversary. Late Bob Guida was one of their Lifetime Achievement Award winners. I had the honor of being inducted in the class of 2019. And we want to congratulate the 2024 class. First, the Tammy Lee Webb Lifetime Achievement Award for everything she's meant to the world of wellness and fitness. And the inductees, Vince Gironda, Dan Isaacson, Joni Gregan, and Richard DeWald. Congratulations. Again, great organization, great heritage, the National Fitness Hall of Fame. Speaking of Baseball Blue Book, Eric joining us next week, we're going to feature a weekly question from their world. And Steve's Baseball Blue Book question was, what about kids and cleats? You know, Steve, I'm so glad you asked that. The concerns of heel problems in growing kids is one of the most common things we see in podiatry and sports podiatry. And soccer, of course, was always famous for the earliest 6-, 7-, 8-year-olds already have cleats under the heel, cleats under the ball of the foot routinely. And the large growth center, especially around the heel, which would have a susceptibility to be irritated many times and then be perpetuated and re-aggravated. And the baseball cleats, although not quite as early, still we would see it in Little League. Again, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. So if your child's got any kind of history, heel problems, and ball of the foot also, where the cleats are located, then we recommend to parents and coaches, go into a multi-nub baseball shoe. They're available in a lot of different brands, or a multi-nub cross-trainer, multi-purpose shoe, which doesn't have the clusters or the cleats right under the growth center, because that is becoming more and more of a problem when we see the most common problems called calcaneal apophysitis. It's an inflammation. That growth center in the heel doesn't solidify in boys till almost 15 years old. Girls might be a little younger, could be 13. So all those younger ages, they're susceptible to that area getting aggravated, and cleats becomes more of a problem. Gail, since my 13-year-old daughter is now with a volleyball club, I wanted some of your feedback regarding shoes. She does have some history of knee concerns. She's been playing probably since she's 11. You know, Gail, there aren't many sports with as much jumping as volleyball. I don't know if there are any. And I've been involved in the world of volleyball, my gosh, since the late 70s when the late Bob Guida was a strength and conditioning coach for the national and Olympic teams. And some of these, and the women's team and men's. And knee concerns were always a big problem with all this jumping. And the younger kids, sometimes, again, the body's growing. We start putting pressure on those areas, and the mechanics become very, very important. Half of the girls in volleyball that I have seen over the decades that I was putting orthotics in their shoes, it was for knee concerns. It was for knee tendonitis. Again, the young girl, as she's going through puberty, her hips are widening. There's an increase in the angle down to the knee called the Q angle. And therefore, we would see many times, not that it was not common with the boys also, because of, again, all the overuse and all the running and jumping. As far as shoes are concerned, again, that's very specific. Consult with podiatry. You might find, again, we want something. We want a multi-purpose, multi-direction shoe, very similar to a good basketball sneaker. Whether it's high top or mid top is an individual choice. Again, we start paying big attention to strengthening the feet and ankles, many times taping and or bracing with ankles. We want a shoe that can accommodate that. If your daughter's got a shoe she really, really likes, there is no specific brand. There are great volleyball and multi-basketball shoes. Again, Adidas, and Nike, and New Balance. Again, you want a multi-direction shoe. Holy cow, everybody, March Madness is almost upon us. And again, you know, the sport of basketball, it's incredible. The excitement this past season with the mania around the record-setting young lady from Iowa, Caitlin Clark, it just has been fantastic to watch. So strap in for March Madness. I want to thank our guests, Josh Mackey, Darren Harfan, and we'll catch everybody next week, everybody. Thanks. It's the Sports Talk.